95, the rock station.
On the phone with me right now, Ghost Hunter, and occasionally a plumber, still maybe, Jason Haas. How are you, man?
Good, Paul. Man, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm still a plumber.
Still a plumber. Do you still, like, you still have the plumbing business? You go out and do all the pipe work and stuff?
Yeah, well, I work for Roto, and it's more of a, for years I've been more of a supervisor type position, but I go out and price out big commercial type jobs, put, you know, 10, 12, 14 guys to work, and go from there. It's tough, of course, because I've been doing TV for so long, it's not like I can go do residential homes, because
right.
everybody knows me, especially living in Rhode Island. I mean, it's a small state.
Right.
But yeah, plumbing's recession free. We're never going back to the outhouse, so I'll always have a job.
Well, I thought it was funny when I was doing the research, you know, before this interview, it comes up, you know, for everything that you're known for in ghost hunting, the first thing that comes up is American plumber Jason Haas. And I was like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been with Roto-Rooter for years prior to the show, and I mean, like I said, it's they've just been a great company. It's I've worked with them for so long.
Right.
And a lot of people sit there and think, oh, it's just for TV. No, I'm a plumber by trade. Look it up. It's really who I am. And like I said, we're not going back to the outhouse. And being a plumber is great because it gives me the ability to design and create things and problem solve. But also it helps out when it comes into the paranormal field, too, because right down to people hearing knocking on walls, is it air in the line? Do you need an air hammer? Or somebody thinks that their dead Uncle Fred, who was a plumber, is letting them know that he's there because he flushed the toilet at midnight.
Right.
And it's nothing but a $3 flapper valve.
Right, right. That's something that I've always appreciated with you guys. When Taps goes out on these calls, you know, when the TV show really started, when your first show started, like, the whole thing was the sensational, you know, oh, that's a ghost, oh, that's a ghost. You guys were all about debunking it. Like, you did everything possible to prove there wasn't ghosts.
Well, and that was the thing. I mean, and that's the way I've always been. I've always believed that over 80% of all claims can be disproved. And we've always felt that way. I mean, we were the first show of its kind and the highest rating. I mean, it's international success. It aired in 106 countries. But that's the way we always were. I had been asked to do television 5-6 times prior and I always turned it down. We always go in believing that over 80% of all claims can be disproved. And, you know, and we ran with that. And I had only signed on to do a first season of that show, never thinking it would survive. And who would have thought that it would have been such a huge success and go for 11, 12 years before I finally had to just walk away because I wanted to spend time with the kids. Took a couple of years off, and Travel Channel and Discovery, who I've always had a great relationship with, had asked me numerous times if I wanted to do a show. I finally sat down with them and said, hey, if I come back to television, I want to show people a real investigation from the beginning to the end, how it goes together, how it's pieces of a puzzle that we're putting together. And they put their hands up and they're like, hey, you want to do a show? Do it your way. We'll never question that. And they've given us a free run. And I mean, first season of Ghost Nation was shattered all records for them.
Yeah.
So we're looking for the second season, and especially, like, we kick off the premiere Wednesday at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, and it's 2 hours because this case was something that we weren't prepared for. We were called out to Biglerville, Pennsylvania by Glenda and Steve, newlyweds, uh-huh. And they were having all these problems, but there were rumors of a tree on their property being called a witching tree. Now, a lot of people, when they think of witch trials and so forth, they think of Salem.
Right.
But there's this whole other aspect. Certain religious individuals in the past, if somebody was accused of being a witch, that person would randomly go missing. And in other words, that person was killed. And
right.
They would bury them face down, and then they'd plant a tree on top of them in order to hold them in. It was
Whoa.
Their belief system. So a lot of people don't realize this or know about this history. But so we went out to this family, great people, and we figured, all right, well, we'll bring some cadaver dogs out and at least let them just do a sniff of the entire property and shoot that down so we can move forward with other things.
Uh-huh.
Us bringing the cadaver dogs out opened up a can of worms, which next had to bring the police in, then
Whoa.
Had to bring, then actually made the place become locked down because it became an active crime scene, and it just spiraled. So, and we could have made this episode 4 hours. We were able to whittle it down to 2, and as well as some incredible evidence we were able to document as well in the house. So it just became a mind-blowing investigation where initially we thought we just opened up a serious can of worms for this family. but we were able to work with them and figure out truly what was happening. I think people are going to love it because they're able to see from the start to the finish and all the chaos that went into this thing, working with law enforcement to see if we're able to actually dig and remove this tree and so forth. And then what we found with that, it's wild. It really is.
So, okay, I read the description going into this first episode, but I'm not going to lie. You breaking it down for me just completely changed my perception. Like, I wanted to watch this episode already. Now I want to watch it, like, now.
Well, it's really one, and that's the nice thing. I mean, we film a lot of investigations, but and some of them never air. It's we only take the best of the best and put out there.
Right.
But this one was, I told them from the get-go, I said, this has to be the season premiere because how you can't make this stuff up. And just the fact of, like I said, it becoming an active crime scene and us working with law enforcement so we don't get removed from the property.
Right.
And then we leave the family high and dry. So we were working with law enforcement to make sure that we were able to all work together to still come to some resolution for the family and get them the answers they needed. I think if there's ever an episode somebody should watch in order to judge if they're going to like a show,
right,
at least tune into this because people are going to be able to see this and then they can draw their conclusion on, well, these guys are stand up. These guys, this was great. Or it's just not for me, but
right.
I think people should really tune in, catch this episode. I think they're going to be glued to the television.
Wow. Taps kind of started out as a way for you guys to help people out who thought they were being, you know, haunted in their homes and stuff. But you guys have also investigated some of the big places like, you know, prisons and sanitariums and things like that. Do you have a preference? Like, do you love going to the bigger places more, or do you still like helping the families more?
I love helping family. I love helping people who are concerned. This season, you're going to see at one point, we're at a prison, but now it's not an abandoned prison that we're just going out to investigate for our own time. We're called in by an international soccer star who bought an old prison, him and his wife, and are converting it to a soccer training facility for people from around the world to come in.
Wow.
But the problem in doing so is that they started having all this crazy activity where employees were getting locked into rooms.
Oh, my gosh.
They were seeing things. People were, you know, feeling voices were happening right in front of people. So we investigated that location as well, and it's a monstrous location. And because of the size, you're going to see that we brought back past investigators from my previous show to assist. So people are going to love that too. So you're going to be able to actually see past investigators that you've seen in the past working with us on this new show.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, throughout the years of watching you guys do this, you know, technology has advanced just at a crazy pace. I'm curious if you guys have incorporated some new technology, but I also know you guys use some old school stuff too.
Well, yeah, but we have been working. We worked with different engineers, electrical engineers and designers to help design new equipment. We're using cameras that actually, because we'll set up the equipment, we'll go through, we'll do an investigation, we remove the family from the house, and then we leave the equipment rolling. But now we've got cameras that notify us if they pick up anything, which has been a huge plus. I mean, it's helped us out with tons of different evidence that we might not have caught otherwise. We've also worked with other companies. I mean, just a couple of years ago, I was the guest speaker out in Las Vegas at the CES for FLIR, because we worked with them on the designing of the whole FLIR One, which for the iPhone and the Android or iPads, because, you know, people want to be able to investigate, but they don't have the $10, $20, $30,000 to go investigate with a thermal imaging camera. So now you can actually get thermal imaging that you can mount right on your phone or your iPad for a couple hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens up the door for everybody to be able to investigate claims of the paranormal. They don't have to have an endless budget to be able to do so.
Sure. Do you feel like the advancement of technology has found more evidence in favor of for you guys, or actually debunked more?
That's a great question. And I think it's a little of both. I think that the advancement of technology has been able to help us figure out, all right, well, this might not be paranormal. This might be something with this, but also the advancement of technology. Like I was saying, with the cameras that are alerting us when they sense movement in an empty house and showing us exactly what it is, has allowed us to gather more evidence to support, wow, there's really something going on here. Look at this. That's appears to be a person walking by that in an empty house where there's no way they could have gotten in or out of the house without passing other cameras. So I think it's helped out on both ends. It's helped solidify more solid evidence, but it's helped also disprove some things that might have gotten through as possible evidence, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Okay. Have you guys ever investigated a radio station?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. We've investigated radio stations in the past.
It seems like every single radio station in the country has a ghost of some kind.
Well, yeah, but also radio stations are notorious for giving off high magnetic fields.
Right.
And so in the magnetic fields, there's scientific proof to show that there's hypersensitivity to EMFs. So people dealing with long exposures to high EMFs can deal with everything from nausea, fatigue, hallucination, skin irritation, paranoia, things of that nature. So, and also there's claims that high magnetic fields can help fuel paranormal activity as well, so that these things draw from it to be able to manifest or move small objects.
I think you just explained every personality trait of a radio person.
Well, I was a radio person for many years, too.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. No, like, because the building we're in here supposedly has three people that have died in it and some hijinks and stuff. In fact, we had some weird stuff happening this morning. But like the station I worked at in Oklahoma, we actually had a board that, somebody killed themselves over, and we have, people had experienced certain things. I saw a full on like upper body apparition over that board at one time. And like, I was always a skeptic until that day. And it was like, it was a completely like life changing moment for me.
Well, and that's all a skeptic is somebody who's never had a paranormal experience before. So, I mean, that's what goes and takes a skeptic and makes them a believer, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So, and you have all different types of hauntings. You have your intelligent, you have your residual, which is more like just a tape player rewinding, playing itself over and over again. You have your poltergeist, which is more just somebody manifesting the activity themselves. And then you have this weird human type haunt, which is like a time overlap. It's for whatever reason, they're living a normal day in their life. Whenever, and we're living a normal day in our life, and for whatever reason, the veil's thin enough that we're able to experience one another at that time.
You know, everyone always associates ghosts with being like scary and creepy and stuff. You ever have ghosts that are just kind of funny?
Yeah, well, I think the reason why they're looked at as scary and stuff like that is more just Hollywood, the spin that Hollywood's
sure.
always put on it. When overseas, I mean, a lot of people over there, ghosts and hauntings are a normal everyday life, and they're not scared of it. So I think it's more that it's just Hollywood has made it out that way. I've always looked at it as it's intriguing. It's, especially when you're investigating, you're putting a puzzle together. So you're able to see the whole picture.
Have you ever had like a funny experience with a ghost, or like maybe they're playing jokes on you or tricks on you or anything like that?
I mean, years ago, we were investigating a old whiskey distillery, and I had my butt grabbed right on camera. That was something different. Yeah. So, and you'll get weird little things like that, and you don't know if they're being humorous in trying to make contact, or if just for whatever reason that's the one time you're able to experience them. But yeah, I definitely had my butt grabbed.
Well, if you're ever going to get your butt grabbed by a ghost, I think the distillery is probably the place it's going to happen.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, all those whiskey barrels and everything. Yeah,
yes. That ghost is living high and large, man.
It'd be a nice place to haunt.
Yeah, no kidding. I feel like that would be where I would go. You know, if I were going to haunt something, it'd be a brewery or a distillery.
Well, you'd be a spirit in a place full of spirits.
Oh, spirit squared.
Pun.
Well, with everything going on, you know, with the coronavirus, are you guys still able to get out and do some investigating?
Well, we there's supposed to be 20 episodes that we're filming. We were able to get about 7 done right now. And we had to take a hiatus and step back for everybody's safety, especially like I travel to a lot of these locations, get on planes and fly out. Steve drives because he's terrified of planes. But the fact of the matter is we have to worry about their safety and our safety.
Sure.
So right now we're sitting back, chilling out until the government claims that, you know, things are at an okay time for us to get back to work. And then we'll get out there and start checking out more locations. But right now it's more just about everybody's safety.
It's everyone's safe and healthy. Nothing crazy going on around the group, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're all good. Everybody's chilling out. I'm just hanging out, enjoying the time home with I've got 6 kids, but I've got 4 still at home. So enjoying all the time with them. And me, my boys have taught me now. I've never been a video game player, but over the last 2 weeks, they have like gotten me into playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare with them. And And it's funny because one of my twins, a 15-year-old, told me yesterday, he's like, Dad, he goes, finally, I'm not embarrassed to have you on my team. So, yeah, so it's he told me, I still don't understand it, but my KDR, which is kill-death ratio, has greatly improved. So I'm not an embarrassment to my son anymore. So that's good.
Hey, you know the lingo. You know KDR. You know, I think you're all set. I think you're good to go there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean...
Well, we're glad everyone's safe. Man, I'm really looking forward to this episode now. Ghost Nation 2-hour premiere on Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Time on the Travel Channel. It's going to be good to see you guys come back because, like I said, like I was a big fan of the shows, and I was especially a big fan of you guys because you did the debunking over, you know, the sensational stuff. And this was back when I was a skeptic. Now that I'm a believer in this kind of stuff, like, it just means that much more to me. So I'm excited to see the episode, man.
Well, thanks so much, man. And thank you for your time. And you stay in touch out there, but stay safe.
Absolutely, man. You guys do the same. And I'm going to be on the edge of my seat all day Wednesday.
All right, then. All right, I'll talk to you. So hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, Jason Hawes from Ghost Nation. Thanks so much, man.
We're taking social distancing serious. You don't even have to touch us. Just ask Alexa to open T95.